Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which is a great segue, because so is Jonah Schaefer, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. And he joins me now. And Jonas, good evening. How are you?
Ken, I knew as soon as you mentioned Ed Sheeran, you could only go one way with that.
We're the three of us. We're all talented gingers.
That's, hey, we need more of us, all right?
Yes, except we all have no souls, so there's that.
Yeah, allegedly. we'll see.
So, Jonas, let me first get your thoughts on the news of the day, Tim Williams getting released. Surprise. You know, it's interesting. I was on with Scott and Jeremy yesterday after the press conference, and I said that neither Tim Williams or Tyus Bowser will be back next year. Well, they didn't wait long on Tim Williams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, four weeks is – it's a quarter of the season, so in one sense, you know, it's you get enough chances to look at a guy considering preseason, considering training camp. But still, I mean, I think he'd shown some flashes of that pass rush potential. But, you know, the Ravens want to be a team that stops, you know, rushing attacks. They want to be a team that sets the edge. I'm not sure if Tim Williams has done that. He certainly hasn't done it in the first 2 years of his career. And, hey, I mean, you know, you have to be totally committed – not just on the field, but off the field as well. And I know that, you know, they didn't always feel like there was total buy-in with Tim Williams. Otherwise, he would have played more than the 19 or 29 games or whatever it was that he's played over the, you know, first three seasons for a third-round pick. That's just, you know, that's just not doing it.
It's interesting, though, and I agree. He hasn't shown them anything, but there's nothing in the cupboard. So that kind of, I guess that's the more surprising aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, they're really – obviously, you don't want to look ahead to next year, but they're really approaching a potential pass rush crisis. I mean, if they can't afford Matthew Judon, like they couldn't afford Za'Darius Smith, then you're relying on Jalen Ferguson, who, you know, obviously young and still growing into his body, but hasn't really shown a whole lot of pop off the edge. You know, Tyus Bowser, he had the sack Sunday, but has otherwise been kind of the similar inconsistent storyline that Tim Williams has. And you're just, you know, relying on free agents and possible draft picks to come in and do the job there. And you know, we've seen just how important having good pass rushers is. We saw it Sunday, and I'm sure we'll see it a bunch of times over the course of the season. But for the Ravens to give up on a guy like Tim Williams this early in his career, I think it's pretty telling.
Talking to Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Jonas, you know the numbers. You've probably talked about him a bunch since Sunday. 1,033 yards in the last two games, 73 points. If what is wrong with this defense? Is it a bunch of things? Is there one thing in particular? But in a word, it's not one word. It's really bad.
It is really bad. And I think, you know, something that bad can't be tied down to just one simple reason. It just coverage breakdown. It's an inability to tackle. It is interesting to see Marlon Humphrey get the praise that he's gotten, and all credit to him for sticking with Odell Beckham Jr. for as much as he did Sunday. But he's a guy who has admitted to having a couple coverage busts, admitted that after the game Sunday, a couple coverage busts a game. And if those busts, you know, lead to a 5 yard gain, no one's really talking about it. But some of these busts have led to 20, 50, you know, 70 yard gains. And obviously you want him as a lockdown cornerback, but you have to rely on someone who's as gifted as him to do his job on every snap, especially with how thin the margin for error has become for this team. So, you know, you want your guys kind of on the back of that rotation, guys like Maurice Kennedy to step up, which I think he did Sunday, but you also need your frontline guys, your Tony Jeffersons, your Marlon Humphrey to really be tuned in 100% of the time. Otherwise you're going to see some real clunkers like he did Sunday.
Jonas, where does Earl Thomas's performance fit in here? And a question for you that I brought up earlier in the show. Assuming he's not done, shouldn't Wink Martindale try to simplify some of this stuff for Earl so that Earl can make more of an impact on this defense?
Yeah, it's actually a good question for me because tomorrow's film study in the Sun, I looked at just how well or how poorly Earl's done the past three games. And to be honest, I really came away impressed with everything that he's done. I think he's been instinctive. He's been a good tackler. he really hasn't been targeted all that often in coverage. So you kind of have these periods where it doesn't seem like he's in the game, but that's because he's playing deep and quarterbacks just aren't throwing against him. You know, I ran the stats. I looked at the stats and I think he's only been targeted or kind of found himself in coverage about 5 times the past 3 games. You know, these really difficult 3 games against the Cardinals and the Chiefs and then the Browns, and he only really allowed 1 completion, and he basically forced the interception that Kennedy came up with on Sunday by just scaring the hell out of Jarvis Landry, just, you know, coming at him like a rocket on that RPO. And I just came away really impressed with him, and way less impressed with a guy like Tony Jefferson playing alongside him.
Did you agree with John's assessment and John Harbaugh, I'm referring to, when he spoke yesterday talking about the issues our guys are overplaying in zone coverage and that's causing these big chunk plays?
Yeah, I mean, without knowing the specifics of their schemes, it's tough to tell exactly what they're trying to do in certain situations. But then you go back to week 3, that 88 or 83-yard bomb to Mecole Hardman, whatever it was. You know, for whatever reason, Tony Jefferson was playing on the opposite hash of where that ball ended up getting thrown. And by the time he turned around and, you know, tried to haul Bud after him, the play was basically done. And, you know, you have the play on Sunday where there's not enough communication and, you know, kind of Kenny Young just gets just stuck there in the middle of the field as a tight end or wide receiver or whatever it was, just runs by his face and gets all alone on a crossing pattern. So, I mean, there's so many breakdowns at every level in the secondary and the linebacker crew to really single out anyone. But as far as I can tell, I think Earl Thomas has been among the more dependable guys, which is interesting considering, you know, he's a guy in his first year and he's got the guys have been around the block a few more times.
Talking to Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. In your mind, based on what you're seeing on film, is some of this fixable or are they this bad?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone would accuse the guys in the secondary of being unintelligent. I mean, you know, you talk to all of them, you get the sense that they know what they're doing. And, hey, you look at the track record last year, they had one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. And all they really did was replace Eric Weddle with Earl Thomas. And, you know, obviously, if the pass rush is diminished, like it looks like it might be this year, that is going to put more pressure. But if it is just as simple as, you know, getting reps in and telling these guys where you need to be in certain situations and, you know, having a guy like Patrick Owosso, who's also really, really struggled in coverage, get, you know, less aggressive on play action and get better in his drops, then, you know, who knows, that might, you know, cut down 30, 40 yards of the game in pass coverage. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to be that tough of a test because it seems like Mason Rudolph is just pretty content to dink and dunk the ball downfield until the defense breaks. But I mean, they're going to face Cleveland again. If they get to the playoffs, they're going to face an offense like Kansas City again. So who knows? But I think I'm pretty optimistic about how things could turn out for this defense.
They signed L.J. Fort on Monday. Do you see him being mostly a special teamer, or could he be taking some snaps away from, say, Chris Board?
It's a good question. John seemed pretty optimistic that he would be a plug-and-play guy on special teams because that's what he was doing in Philly before he got cut. I just don't know how high or how low they are on what the guys next to Owosso are doing. You know, it seemed like Kenny Young position most of the snaps at the position early in the season. Chris Board got a lot more snaps relative to what he was getting early on. I think with how rare, you know, the base defenses are in the NFL, you probably won't see a lot of Fort because just, you know, you won't see a lot of two linebacker alignments out there with, you know, Owosso next to Board or Young or Fort. So we might not know exactly how impactful he could be, but if they like him and if he can be another veteran voice in there and then in that positional room, I think they can really feel good about what they picked up.
Talking to Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Before we get to the offense, just one last thing. Do you see the Ravens, it's 4 weeks until the deadline, could you see the Ravens trying to make a move, and not necessarily Jalen Ramsey, but making a move to try to improve this defense before the deadline?
Yeah, but I think it just all depends on what the market is going to be. I mean, if Jacksonville keeps on winning, then I think that's going to make it, you know, harder to trade for a guy like Jalen Ramsey. You know, obviously, Eric DaCosta has talked about wanting to basically build this franchise, not from the ground up, but, you know, using young guys to set the foundation for this team and for what it's going to look like. that was obvious from what they did, trading away Karvedvik, trading away Jermaine Illuminor, guys that they didn't really think that they needed, but they could possibly get, you know, great value in getting those draft picks back. So I think, you know, they're not necessarily in a win-now mode, knowing that Lamar Jackson is a guy that they have under team control for another 3 years, not going to mortgage a part of their future by throwing away two draft picks for a guy like Jalen Ramsey. But we'll see. I mean, you know, who knows what's going on at the Castle. Obviously, if it reaches a crisis, you only have so many options, and that might force their hand. But at this point, I think they probably take a pretty conservative approach.
Let's get to the offense. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Jonas. And we're talking to Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Sun. There were three plays early where the Ravens missed opportunities. One was the throw to Mark Andrews, the back shoulder throw, which I thought Trent Green did a great job of explaining on the broadcast. If he would have let him, he would either gotten Andrews killed or maybe the ball tipped and intercepted. So that was where he needed to throw that ball, and Andrews dropped it. The throw to Chris Moore, which I thought could have been a better throw, but Chris Moore's got to know where he is on the sidelines. He's got to know where the sidelines are there. And then the Ingram fumble, but the defense was so bad, I don't know that it would have mattered.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the second point, I totally agree with you. It was interesting to see where people fell in regards to placing blame for that. I mean, from my vantage point, just watching it live, I put most of the blame on Lamar for not just throwing Chris Moore open. You know, obviously a receiver with a better sense of where he is probably, you know, does a better job with that toe tap and comes in bounds. But you know, he was so wide open that you just have to lead him a little bit in. And not only do you have to not worry about him getting both feet in bounds, but you can also possibly pick up some more yards after catch. But yeah, I mean, that fumble by Ingram in the third quarter, I think it was just a total punch to the gut. You know, they really seemed like they'd finished, they found something successful in that running game, just running right at Cleveland down the gut. And for him to cough that up and for Cleveland to take it right back on that next drive and score, I mean, I think that changed the game along with some other plays later on. But, you know, that seemed like a really significant turning point.
I asked you a question I asked Harbaugh yesterday, which he seemed to hate, but were you surprised that they didn't take advantage of the fact that there was this huge cushion on Hollywood Brown on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, credit to your eye. That was something I really hadn't noticed during the game. But I know that in the earlier weeks, week one or two, they seemed pretty content to kind of throw those 8-yard outs if the cornerbacks were playing off Marquise. Just he's a good route runner, and Lamar's got a strong enough arm to make those throws out wide and just, you know, kind of take those gimme throws. I'm not sure if, you know, the defensive ends were doing anything differently to maybe, you know, deflect or just to get in Lamar's sight lines or do anything like that, or if the linebackers were flaring out to get in those throwing lanes. But I agree. I mean, I think Lamar, you know, has maybe taken a little step back from those outrageous first 2 weeks, but I would like him to see kind of just take more easy throws, you know, maybe dump it off to Ingram or Edwards in the flat more, because it seems like they're usually a pretty good option, you know, to take those easy throws to Marquise Brown if they're giving him 10 yards of cushion, because there's so much speed to respect downfield. Obviously, you know, he's a guy who likes to throw it deep, and he did that so well, especially in that season opener. But it'll be interesting to see just how they kind of recalibrate that passing offense against teams that now have the film on, you know, what was kind of sort of successful against the Ravens.
So last thing for you, what do you think of this offense? Through 4 weeks, statistically, they're still really good. First in yards per game, first in rushing, sixth in passing. I saw the stat, Lamar's got the best passer rating in the league on third downs. What do you think of this offense through four games?
Well, you know, it's interesting just to think about all the hype for in the start of the season. I think, you know, everyone fixated on John Harbaugh saying that it was going to be a revolutionary offense. And in a lot of ways, you know, this offense looks a lot like, at least the running game does, looks a lot like the running game that we saw last year, maybe with a little less dependency on Lamar's legs. But for it to be first in the league with not great receiving core and some questions, at least early on, about this offensive line, I think you have to feel really, really good about where this offense is going to be. Obviously, Pittsburgh is going to be a huge test, especially with that defensive line. And I think teams will, you know, try to figure out new ways to stop Lamar Jackson, whether it's with more zone or QB spies or just blitzing him like Cleveland did. But for the Ravens to have the number one offense with, you know, Mark Andrews banged up for the past 2 weeks, with Marquise Brown basically the only deep threat, with a new guy running back, Mark Ingram, I think you feel really good about where this offense ends up by the end of the year, and possibly, you know, top five, top 10. And if the defense can get back on track, that's a really good combination to have.
It's Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Jonas, thanks for your time, man. I'll see you tomorrow, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Great. Thanks, Ken. Take care.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.